Father, we want to thank you right now for the amazing people that are in this house. I thank you, Lord God, even right now ahead of time, we thank you, Lord, for our worship tonight, how we've unlocked heaven over people's lives. God, how we've expressed our passion and our desire for more of you. God, that we have confessed with our mouths tonight that we will not be shaken. And God, I want to thank you right now. We give you the authority to walk up and down these aisles tonight. God, we need a move of your spirit. We need a touch of heaven in the place tonight. So God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would bring your glory, birth hope in people's hearts. Sir, there's a touch there for you right now, the power of God. Just as I walk up to you, the power of God touches you right now in Jesus' name. Strength flows through your body in Jesus' mighty name. Your physical body right now receives a supernatural infusion from heaven in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare that. I prophesy over this room right now. God, even as we open our hearts for your word tonight, I pray right now, Lord, let it come alive in our heart, God. We don't want to just be ordinary. God, we want to be on fire. And Lord, I think about these girls here just as I walk up this row. I declare over your life right now. I call what's in you out of you right now in Jesus' name. Boy, if ever we need a season in the Christian church where we start calling a bit of stuff out of people. Some of you young people, I'm looking at you sitting here tonight. It's time to call out the anointing that's on your life. It's time to call out the gift that's on your spirit. You have an incredible anointing on your life. You have a call of God on you. You have birth in your spirit, the mighty call and stamp of God on your destiny, okay? I believe that God has marked you for significance. Get ready for what God's doing. I don't care what happened last year. I don't care what happened in the years gone by, but I want to tell you right now, your future is bright in God, okay? Holy Ghost, let that happen. Speak that over you. I prophesy it into your lives tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Pushikabababurunda, which interpreted would mean look out for what God's got in your next step. Get ready for what God's got in your next step, sir. Don't look at the last step. Look at the next step God's got for you, because that's the step you need that God's going to anoint. I put that fire on you right now. Fire. Get it on him, Lord. Holy Ghost, right now on this couple, I thank you for the anointing on this little girl, Lord. Touch her with the fire of God, this little boy, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we release your dynamic tonight. Kita talabushikianda. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated. We'll be seated for a minute. We better do a bit of little. Oh, thank you, band, and all you people. Come up when you feel ready. Again, just in case I forget to stop. Hey, listen, I want to really encourage you tonight. Keep your faith real, all right? If we're singing songs like that tonight, I will build my life upon a firm foundation. I think you know me well enough now. Oh, got a shower just doing that. I see by Jared you can actually walk on these things. I thought you must have backslidden this morning, Jared, when I couldn't find you in the house. I came here expectant to see you. Must have got on my mind. I went home and I had a quick nap for about 20 minutes and I had a dream about you. And so it must have got in me a little bit. And I dreamt that I went to heaven, and when I got there, and God was showing me around heaven, and there was these clocks everywhere. And I said, what the heck are all these clocks? And he said, oh, those clocks is one for each person on earth, and it registers the sin in their life. And I said, oh, man, where's my clock? And he said, oh, your clock's hanging in one of the back rooms. And I went in there, and he said, oh, yeah, it's just hanging there. It ticks very slowly. There's very little sin in your life. And I said, look, I was in church this morning and this guy Jared wasn't there. I thought he might have backslidden or something. Do you have his clock here? And he said, oh, yeah, I've got it on my desk. I use it as a fan. That's terrible. I'll have to ask forgiveness right now. At least I'm not picking on you tonight, Victor. But, hey, listen, what I just want to say there, we're really normal people. We're ordinary people. When I get out of bed in the morning, Julia doesn't, like, greet me with, hello, Pastor Don. It's like, there are many words she uses, and it's never that one, all right? We're ordinary, we're real, and we're singing songs like, I'll build my life upon a firm foundation. And those are challenging words. I'm challenged now when I sing those words. When I was probably your age, I wasn't challenged so much with those words. It was exciting to sing them. But at this age, I'm more challenged. At the death of my son, the tragic death of my son, that became one of the most challenging moments in my walk with God, where my foundation was seriously shaken. I didn't even think there was a foundation. And I want to tell you right now, when we're singing songs like that, let me tell you, you better build your life on something that will carry you through the shakiest times you'll ever have in life. I'm not sure what the future holds, but if I read my Bible, if I just go to the Bible and read that thing about the end times, it ain't a cruise, guys. It's not a cruise, it's a challenging, challenging life. And I believe, hey, let's get excited. I'm excited about tomorrow, you better believe. I'm never going to shrink back and be living in some sort of depression about the future. I'm living know that God is in control, and my life right now is to be an echo. I spoke about the echo this morning. If you want to be an echo, you're not going to be a very good echo if you're walking around with your head down and you're depressed about the future or what's happening in our nation or the nation. You've got to get excited about God, how he flows through your life and echoes in the lives of others. Hey, man, if I drop dead today, pray to God I don't. I don't think he wants me just yet. Probably got too much to do. And I'm not nice enough. Julia always says, you'll be the last person he wants up there. And some of my friends have been just the most beautiful people, and they're already there. And so it kind of makes sense. But I want to tell you this right now. If I did drop dead right now, I want my life to live on as an echo in the lives of thousands of people. And that's how we should be living. And that's how we've got to be. We sing about being overcomers. We talk about being overcomers. But when trouble strikes us, friend, you better have a firm foundation. And I tell you, you've got to work on that foundation. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. We've committed our lives to building a foundation. When trouble struck, when I was paralyzed, that was a shaky time in my life. It was a shaky time. Where's God in that? How does that even happen to somebody? Lord, I've trusted you. I've believed you. When you've trusted God and you've walked with God and you've traveled around the world declaring the gospel, seeing thousands come to Christ and get healed, and then your son suddenly gets taken out, that's a shaky time in your life. Let's not kid ourselves. Stuff happens that you can't understand. You'll never work it out. Write it down if you like. I don't think it'll mean anything when you get there. You could put a whole lot of questions down you want to ask God when you get there, but they'll dissolve into nothingness when you walk into the presence of his glory and the majesty of heaven, where the angels consistently singing, holy, 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 day and night, 24/7. That's how unbelievably good it is in heaven. And the last thought you'll have on your mind is something that was conjured up in here. That's why I said this morning, get it with your heart, not with your head. And I want to tell you right now, if you've got it in your head, you need to get that over with tonight. I'm going to call people up soon. We're going to pray for people. I want you to get this in your heart. Yeah. It's a heart foundation that will continue you in your walk with God through the shaky times, because it's easy to sing it, man. I'll build a firm foundation. I used to sing that and think I had the firmest foundation in the world until trouble struck. And then your foundation seems to crumble. So I just want to challenge you with those thoughts tonight, you know. Like, let's be real in God. Let's be real. In fact, if ever the church needs to be real, it's right now. And I'm not meaning that from that weird thing, oh, get real. No, I'm still a faith man. I'm still like, believe for the impossible. I'm still like, step out. I'm still like, stretch yourself like you've never been stretched before. Which is foreign language today, I know. In fact, let me just add this to it. If you want to have a firm foundation, you better learn to stretch now. Hello. Don't know who I'm talking to, but I feel that's a word from heaven for somebody right now. If you want to have a firm foundation in the future, learn to stretch now. What does it mean to stretch? You might ask, what does it mean to stretch? Well, this is my understanding of stretch, always has been. I was raised on a farm. That was tough work. I'd go out and get totally off on too many nights. And Dad would wake me up at 5 o'clock to milk the cows, okay? That's a stretch right there. When you've got the hangover from hell and Dad wants you to milk the cows and 5 o'clock and he comes and wakes you up and then you're out, he's got you making hay, if any of you know what that, well, when it was back in those days, it was like lifting bales of hay onto the truck. Didn't have machines that did it all for you. We were tough. And then you'd say, hey, my mates are all going partying tonight, Dad. I've had a guts full of this farming. I'm going too. And he would say, hey, man, back to the hay. Then he'd say, there's only one easy life I know of, and it's in the grave. Do you want to go there ahead of your time? Up with the hay. And I tell you what, I was privileged to be stretched to the maximum of my capacity. Privileged. I've built my foundation on that. I look at it right now. This would be my word to you tonight. If you want to know, am I being stretched? Here's how stretch works, okay? Joanne might come to me and say, Pastor Don, I want you to do this tomorrow. And I'd think, I can't do that, sorry. If ever I'm about to say I can't, I enter into the realm of stretch and I say, I'm going to do that for you. That stretch. I've lived my life in stretch. Jesus said, go the extra mile. I think it's nice to read that. It's like a nice little phrase. We sing songs about it and we make little nursery rhymes about it. But to go the extra mile, I mean, what does that actually mean? And I think we've missed some of these basics in Christianity. Can I challenge everybody right now? Be an extra mile person. And I tell you, you'll survive any shaking. You will rise above it. You'll have so much intestinal fortitude's a good word for it. Intestinal fortitude that you'll just ride over it. Just ride over it. Because people's words won't affect. See, we think we've got stress today. Mate, I'm a pastor of a church also. We have people come in, they're stressed, they're anxious. Oh, I've never met so many beautiful people that are stretched. But they're stressed and they're anxious. And I'm thinking, man alive, we haven't even got there yet. If you're stressed and anxious now, my goodness. And I think what we need is a supernatural dose of the Holy Ghost. I think you've got to have some plans in your life. I schedule moves of God in my own life. I schedule. When I'm sitting in church today, I'm scheduling next Sunday I'm going to be in the house of God. Julia and I have scheduled every Sunday in our lives we will be in the house of God. I can't live without it. I get bored without it now because nothing in the world, we sing the songs that nothing in the world can satisfy like you, Jesus, you, Jesus. But then Sunday comes and there's a whole lot of things that are more satisfying. Just getting a bit real with you. And I'm doing this for you as a people tonight because I see potential. Man, I just prayed for you. I just see the potential in you. I see the awesomeness of God in you. I see a generation that I believe will teach and train another generation that will input and that will influence a generation, will be an echo into a world that doesn't know where to turn or where certainty is because there's no certainty any longer. And I believe our certainty is in Christ Jesus. He's our rock, Christ Jesus. And if you're living on him, man, we'll never fail. Jesus is the answer. We just got to get real sometimes. We just got to tell the truth sometimes is what I think preaching's come down to these days. I'm sick of speaking issues. Julia would walk out if I start talking issues anyway. So she just walks out now if you start talking 3 points in a poem and something out of the Reader's Digest. She just gets up and walks out. When my wife walks out, you'll know I've got boring, okay? But I will tell you this. I think we've got to be more honest than we've ever been. Remember, I don't know if you guys had it like this. Remember, some of you will still be there, of course, and your parents, something gets broken in the house. Parents pull you in. Who did this? You know, the four kids are standing there. Who did this? Not a soul. Everybody looking down. Not me, not me, not me. And then mum would say, some of you might know this. I don't know. Then mum would say, I'm going to ask you one more time. And remember, this time Jesus is watching. I did it. And it's amazing, like Jesus is seriously wants to be involved in our lives. He doesn't want to be in the back room or on the sideline. Jesus wants to be dead center of our lives and where we're walking right now. And that's just a little bit of a challenge to us tonight. Hey, let's believe right now that we're walking with Christ and we're going to have the victory that God's got for us, okay? And that's what I mean when I say you guys know me. This is not like, hey, I'm just coming here to preach a message to you. I hope this is real enough that it would stir up your faith and challenge you to live a life that seriously has a firm foundation. That's what the faith message is all about. It's not about God. We just want to be a nice little, I don't know what you call it, but there you go, you know. Here's a verse for you tonight. I want to give you this. John 8:32 says this: "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I would just like to say this on that: know that you know. Know what you know, and know that you know. See, there's nothing, I think, that could be more intimidating by the enemy, that he would come and begin to deal with your head and but it can confuse you and cause you to get off track and start to doubt God's word. If he can get you to doubt this and doubt every promise in this book, then he will start to overcome in your life. I believe when the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you, I want to have a good resister, man. I want to resist that devil on every turn he comes. And I want to encourage you tonight, let's be people that know how to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let's get rid of him. The Bible says this, the steps, Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a good man or a good woman, if you're there tonight, a good man or a good woman. It says the steps of a good man or a good woman, then what does it say? They're a bit iffy, they're a little bit shaky, you just never know. Could go wrong. No, it says they are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. God has a plan for your life and a destiny for your life. And I want to pull that out of you tonight. If you're a young man here tonight, I want to say right now, hook into the supernatural of God and get baptized in the. If you're not already baptized in the Holy Spirit, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That stopped me from crumbling time after time after time. Cook in with your heart, not your head, okay? I really do. I want to just reinforce that. Hook in with your heart, not your head. Your head will tell you all kinds of things. Your head's influenced by 1,000 things. Your heart is connected to heaven. Your heart is birthed by the Bible consistently. I mean, man, let me read some of this stuff to you. What it says about you. I mean, out of the heart. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Out of the heart. Your life is lived out of your heart. Man, I want to have an overflowing heart. An overflowing heart that brings life and hope and victory to thousands of people. So some of the things you need, excuse me, some of the things you need to be careful there is who you hang with. See, I said this morning, I said, what's your language or what's your echo? Because what you say is generally what you'll get. What you say. So I want to be hanging around with people who speak in the right language. I want to be hanging around like people like Pastor Allen, who rings me up and prophesies over me and like just rings me up and just prophesies. I mean, how good is that? How many people ring you up with a problem? You know, I get those phone calls way too often. They've got a problem. They've got, well, the reality is when you get a phone call from Pastor Allen, he's prophesying over you, you cannot but get off that phone and feel pretty darn good about yourself. Pretty darn good. Somebody rang me up the other day and they said, Don, I've just got a word for you. And I said, well, go ahead. What is it? And they said, you are God's favorite son. And I'm like, yee-haw. I got in a card game shortly after that and I could feel that favor on me. And is it any wonder that I won? And so there's a word of God in your life. We've got to live our lives in that way. Who are you hanging with? Who's speaking into you? Who's giving you stuff? Like if you, thank God you guys come to church in a Holy Ghost, vibrant atmosphere of the supernatural. And in a place like this, you can actually receive in your spirit a prophetic word that unlocks God's destiny. There's thousands of places where you don't get that and it's just dead, but we need life breathed into us. That's why the enemy's tried to shut down churches. He don't want you in church because you won't get any life. People are dying out there. I think there's more people committed suicide than more people that have been taken out with COVID, to be honest with you, if you see the real true statistics. Because we've got the one voice of truth that comes on our TV, and it's not the Bible, unfortunately, which makes it total bull. So I believe the word of God to be my only source of truth. I don't care who says we're the source of truth. The Bible is the source of truth. Don't get too excited about that. I've lived in Vietnam for a longer time. I've lived in Vietnam long enough to hear the communists going up and down the street every day, pumping out their propaganda and telling them, we are your one voice. We are your one source of truth. And the people have become so indoctrinated, they bow down to it and they're cursed because of it. And we walk in there smuggling Bibles in, disobeying every government rule and breaking their rules in the country and bringing the Bible in there and delivering it to people, and they're getting radically saved, and the church is rising by thousands in Vietnam because Jesus sets you free. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost to fire us up so we're unafraid of the truth. Don't get too excited about that. I'm getting excited. I remember one meeting. I was thinking of it when we were worshiping tonight, and it was all dark in here. And we were in northern Vietnam, and one of the most, we weren't even meant to be there. That's how bad it was, okay? We weren't even meant to be there. And I remember they said that we had phones. We had to get different phones so nobody can track the phones. And they gave us the phones and all that stuff that goes on there. It's just like spy stuff, you know? And they give you a phone with a new chip, and then you'll get a text. And it'll say, we'll meet you 2 blocks to the right, 3 blocks to the left, and we'll meet you on the corner. You have no idea who you're meeting. It's nighttime. It's dark, and it's just, where the heck are you going? And I go out, and I leave Julia in this house, and I clear off, and who knows what's going to happen to her. And I go, and then this guy pulls up on a motorbike. I have no idea who this dude is. I get on the back of the motorbike, and then he journeys me, and it was like, I would have thought, man, if we're going to have church, let's just have it around. But this was like, it had to be 50 miles on the back of a motorbike in the rain, through the jungle. We were going on jungle tracks. And then we arrive at this, whatever it was, because you couldn't see anything. It's pitch black. We've fallen over twice on the motorbike going through the muddy jungle track. And we get there, and then they've already informed me that an interpreter will arrive from some different direction. And then you're just going to arrive there, and then it's just going to happen, and that's how it'll go. And you won't have any lights. You're not allowed to turn any lights on because this is a totally secret meeting in the middle of the jungle. And so you go there, they escort you in, and then you can't see a single thing. And I had a friend with me who came on another motorbike, and the only reason I know that room was jam-packed from wall to wall, he took a photo with his flash thing, and the flash lit up people, and it was jam-packed. People as hungry as you could ever get. People who take one Bible that we gave them and tear a page out for each village around the area, and they go back, and that lits them on fire, and they build a foundation of hope on that, and they get radically born again, and it changes their lives in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you, we got to stretch ourselves a bit, guys. We got to get fired up. I want to be radical. I want to leave an echo across the world that changes people. This way, if you can get on a mission trip, which has been difficult up to now, get on one and get some foundational fire in your life that causes you want to live bigger in Jesus' name. I think there's something wrong if nobody wants to go on a mission trip. I think every single person should go on a mission trip and just get into some of that. I remember I was preaching in that place, and next thing they just grabbed me and just pulled me out the back door, and we ran through the jungle with the police after us, and we jumped on this motorbike and rode into who knows where, and I finally ended up back with Julia, who had the whatever the secret police come and visit her and try to invade where we were staying even. And I want to tell you, as a result of that, I've literally met people, because now, of course, that was like probably 7 years ago. Now, two years ago before COVID, I went back and we had 12,000 of those beautiful Vietnamese come to our 12,000, friend. You couldn't even meet in a house before. Then I got arrested and detained by the communist government for having the meeting. And they took me down to Hanoi and locked me up and interrogated me for 8 hours. Then I met with the Minister of Police, the Minister of Immigration, these top guys in the Vietnam communists, even got to be careful saying it here, really. But then I now have the phone number of the Minister of Police in Vietnam, and he says, McDonnell, you are welcome to preach anywhere in Vietnam, any place. If you have any trouble, call me. I'll make an open door for you. Why is that, sir? Because my son was hooked on heroin, and he went to one of your meetings, and he got set free, and God has caused his life to be changed. And I want to know the the Jesus that you know. And I want to tell you, we got to stretch it a bit. I don't want to live normal. I want to live on fire. It's too boring to live normal. We need to live with a bit of passion in our lives that will bring change to the world. Hallelujah. Get on a mission trip if you can. We've got way off track. But I just think tonight, I just want you to catch the fire, really. And so, you know, be careful who you hang with, because people will pull it out of you. Listen to this. I'm going to give you this just before I finish. I've got a few minutes. Have we got a few minutes? But it's in Hebrews chapter 11, okay? Just go to Hebrews chapter 11 quickly, and I'll just give you something out of there, and then we will finish, all right? Hebrews chapter 11 is a fiery Holy Ghost passage of the Bible, okay? And so if I can get, here it is. Jesus' name, Hebrews chapter 11. Here we go. Listen to this, boy. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Listen to it. This is for especially. I see there's more young people here than there is over there, so it's for you especially, all right? Are you attentive? Moses? Yeah? You're on fire? You should be Moses. You're the sort of guy God just turns up to in fire. He just turns. See, listen to this. Here they come. I'm getting kicked off. Listen to it. Here it goes. Hebrews 11, 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell. Listen, I haven't even got time to tell you the incredible miracles that God's done in my world. Haven't even got time. Just like these guys. Time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. Jephthah. How would you like that to be your name? Imagine going to school, your name Jephthah. Anyway, maybe you are, I don't know. Also of David and Samuel and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained what was promised by God, stopped the mouths of lions. Yee-haw! This is exciting stuff, guys. Listen what else it says. Their weaknesses were made strong and they became valiant in battle. Wow. Every one of those people I just read started off not good. Moses was scared, intimidated. God turned up. Hey, Mo, get a hold of this. God turned up in a fire and challenged his life and said, get ready for the call that's on your life. And Mo, you can't have a name like that and not have a call of God on your life.